what kicks in chemically then to change the direction and the physiology of the developing fetus there? And at what point in development does it occur?
Well, sometime between 35 and 40 days after conception, the beginnings of the gonad, which up to that point are the same in the future boys and future girls, begin to become more testicular in appearance. And the key event in molecular terms is activation of a specific kind of molecule called a DNA binding protein, discovered in 1990 by English scientists and designated SRY, an acronym standing for the sex determining region of the Y chromosome. And this SRY molecule then, by an unknown series of steps, activates this master pathway leading both to male development and to regression of the female tissues.
If you mentioned that it was only a tiny section of the Y chromosome that was responsible for this, if I understood you correctly.
Yes, in fact, girls have all the information they need to develop almost perfect male organs. What they lack is the master switch. And sometimes, by mistake, this master switch jumps off the Y chromosome and lands on the X chromosome or on one of the other chromosomes that are shared in common by boys and girls. And when that happens, the XX embryo and fetus will be born as a beautiful baby girl.
Wow, so it's just a tiny...
I'm sorry, we'll be born as a baby boy. So it'll be a kind of sex reversal, a girl with boy chromosomes.
How frequent is that?
About 1 in 50,000 births.
Does that mean that the offspring is sterile, or you cannot give birth to offspring because the chromosomes are not the way they should be?
Well, in the past, that was true. That is that these XX boys or XY girls would not have the complete endowment of information to become fertile adults. But now, for example, the little girls that are born with boy chromosomes, the XY sex reversal, those young ladies can be helped by in vitro fertilization and by endocrinologists mm-hmm. to become mothers.
That's fascinating. How different is what goes on in the human womb from, let's say, what would go on in a different mammalian womb? And I know, Robert Poole, you talk about this in your book a little bit. What are the things that are going on differently that might help us understand the differences in gender?
I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to in my book. The mammalian course of sexual development is pretty much standard from men to rats to any other kinds of mammals you can point to.
I'm talking about the mix of chemicals in the womb. Is it basically the same in the mammalian animal kingdom of the kinds of chemicals that are bathing the developing embryo there?
They're very similar. If you have... With the male embryos, you have the male hormones, testosterone and several others. The females, the dominant sex hormones are estrogens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much true for most of the mammals that I'm familiar with. It's a very, very much a fixed developmental path, which is one of the reasons that scientists can do experiments on rats or other mammals and do tests that they couldn't do on humans and get some kind of insight into sexual development in humans, even though it's always a little tricky to reason from what's going on in rats to what's going on in humans, and that's the best we can do.
You've done a rather extensive study of the roots of gender-based behavior for your book. What's happening to the babies in the womb that makes them come out behaving like I described before, like little boys or little girls?
Well, that's a very complicated answer of which we only know a part, but that part is beginning to look like this. As he mentioned, you have this master switch that turns on for the male embryos, and what that does is it triggers a series of events that cause the male embryo to be bathed in male hormones, testosterone, dihydrotestosterone, and some others. And that causes the embryo to go down a male body path to develop the normal male sexual organs, for instance. What it also does, we're increasingly finding out, is it causes some changes in the brain as well. And although we can't trace those changes nearly as well as we can trace the changes in the sexual organs, there's a growing body of evidence that points to those changes in the brain being responsible for some of the differences we see between the sexes.
Paul Grobstein, you're a neurobiologist. Can you elucidate a little bit more in detail what might be happening in the brain?
Well, I can just add the thing that one does want to be sure to distinguish between calling somebody male or female based on their sex organs and external appearance and calling them male or female based on their behavior. For that one, the issue certainly is the development of the brain, and there clearly are effects of hormones on brain development, on the connectivity among neurons, on the number of neurons. But in addition, it's important to recognize that there are a whole variety of other effects on the brain, and those come from experience.
Mm-hmm.